Truth News Network. Navigating the fog of today's political landscape with the clarity of truth. This is TNN, the Truth News Network. And your guide is Dan Newman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Truth News Network. Well, it's happening. A Senate trial to try to get rid of Donald Trump. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome to Truth News Network. Really, we're going to do this. But before we do anything, shouldn't we think through the cost of what we're going to do? What's the real cost of the impeachment process? What is this going to cost America? Make no mistake, the costs are staggering. Our nation, not since World War II, has experienced anything so expensive and anything so life-changing as this drama thrust on the world stage to capture the attention of hundreds of millions of people. How expensive is it going to be? Well, let's measure the impeachment ticket balance. Let's add it up together. Although Republicans insist the impeachment process is a partisan farce, and Democrats claim that our democracy is literally at stake, there's one result of impeachment that neither party can deny. It's costing taxpayers, you and me, bigly, as President Trump would say, bigly. As House Democrats have pursued impeachment for the past 3 months, they've already cost taxpayers $3.06 million. That's according to the Heritage Foundation. Add up lawyers' fees and the salaries of Congress staff whose duties have been consumed by impeachment proceedings, and taxpayers are footing a hefty bill. As the Daily Signal reports, the price tag could be even higher. The total likely is a low estimate because it doesn't factor in overtime hours for U.S. Capitol Police when House hearings ran well into the late evenings. The total also doesn't include the cost of executive branch expenses, travel costs for witnesses, or supplies and materials. While members of Congress waste time on the House floor reading the Pledge of Allegiance or comparing Trump to Jesus, both arguments for and against impeachment have wallowed in meaningless rhetoric, nothing but rhetoric. As support for impeachment appears to be dropping, Democrats are going to have to prove to voters that they're doing the right thing, and they need to do it before public opinion turns even further away, tanking Democrats' chances in 2020. At the moment, House Democrats' empty rhetoric isn't helping their case much either, and each second costs taxpayers more money. So let's do a quick little research project into impeachment's historical cost. Remember in 1999, the New York Times tells us that 5 months of impeachment work on former Bill Clinton's case cost $1.2 million. That's according to records from the House Judiciary Committee. Adjusted for the cost of inflation, the $1.2 million in 99 would be equal to about $2 million in 2020 dollars. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Price Index inflation calculator. Here's a breakdown of some of the individual legal costs connected to the Clinton case that are detailed by the New York Times. Payments to Chief Republican Investigator David Shippers, as much as $20,000 a month. Payments to Democratic Counsel Abby Lowell, as much as $18,000 a month. In 2020 dollars, those costs would be the Chief Investigator's salary, $30,179 and a nickel per month. The head counsel to represent the president cost would be $27,161.15 per month. Theoretically, in the exact same circumstances today, it would cost about $100,000 more to pay the lead investigator and counsel in this presidential impeachment case than it did in 99 when Clinton's impeachment trial concluded. Add to that an inflated cost of paying for the work of entire legal teams on both sides, you have a considerable increase over 99's $2 million in impeachment cost. If you add to the actual impeachment process costs the expense of the 2.5-year Robert Mueller investigation, and the dollars for impeachment explode. Mueller's price tag alone was estimated to be $40 million. No matter if any of these numbers are accurate, impeachment costs are exorbitant. The only way Democrats can attempt to justify any of this is not and cannot be based on facts. The only reason they can possibly present for justification is that, quote, history demands a president guilty of wrongdoing be held accountable. And then there's the constantly quoted saying by Pelosi and her crew, no one's above the law. Pelosi can say that, but that's not what she means. What she is really saying is this: we're creating a narrative that the president is guilty of wrongdoing. We don't have any evidence of impeachable offenses, so we're going to do our best to sell the political narrative and our perspective to the American people. And let's be honest, the actual articles of impeachment sent over to the Senate have nothing to do with what Democrat members in the House used in multiple impeachment motions in just the first months of Mr. Trump's presidency. Remember, just hours after he took his oath of office, one mainstream newspaper published a story with this headline, "Let the impeachment begin." From the beginning of his presidency, numerous Democrats made this ridiculous statement. Donald Trump is guilty of impeachable offenses committed even before he was elected. Do you know how ridiculous that is? No president or any federal officer can commit an impeachable offense without being in office. Nothing that they may have done before going to work for the U.S. people can be impeachable. What they should have said was, we don't have any evidence of any impeachable offense by Mr. Trump as president, but we hate him, so we're going to scour the world to find some wrongdoing we can accuse him of and impeach him for him. I question President Trump's constant use of the term witch hunt for the Mueller investigation. But now, got to be honest, I understand the amazing similarities between this impeachment circus and the actual witch hunts that sent dozens and dozens of innocent people to their deaths in Salem, Massachusetts. You remember the Salem witch trials? Whole lot of similarities here. The dollars and cents estimates of impeachment detailed above are just a drop in the bucket of the real impeachment cost. Don't think for a second those can be measured with a calculator. One thing is certain, though, you can bet this: history will detail the cost of this charade, and it's not going to have dollar signs. What's the real cost of impeachment? Well, listen up for the next few minutes. One entire generation of Americans, and maybe even two generations, have virtually been lost when it comes to truth in politics. The current elementary, high school, and college generation have been brainwashed by educators who in large swallowed the pill of socialism that has consumed their thinking. And what do teachers and professors all do? Well, they teach our kids. They teach their students not what they should regarding American government, but what those educators personally think and feel about politics. It's all about politics, folks, not government. Do your children have a civics class at their middle or high school? If they do, they're the rare fortunate ones. Civics is a lost compilation of the structure of the greatest country in world's history and its government and its governmental operations. Instead, this and even the last generation have all been filled with these thoughts: capitalism is an evil manipulation of the economy to benefit only large companies and the top 1 or 2% of the wealthiest Americans. Those corporations and wealthy Americans pay hardly anything in taxes, while the middle class bear the brunt of financing the United States. That's what they teach today, folks, and they've been teaching it for several decades. Here's the conundrum about that. There's no debate in these classrooms of those statements. No one is there to present any alternative perspective of what they say. And since American adults have held confidence in our public educators' teaching methods, assuming they still do as teachers did in our years in school and teach, we have trusted them to feed our kids the truth about, oh, capitalism, democracy, socialism, totalitarianism, and of course, free markets. We've trusted them to do that. They haven't done those. Now, because of that, we have a generation that's not only lost its way and its grasp of the truth, they've developed what they feel is the reality that democracy, capitalism, free market ideas, or oppressive concepts forced on Americans for decades that are unreasonable, unfair, and unconstitutional, even unconstitutional, they're told. How could that be? It's simple. If a baby pig from birth is not allowed to oink, but it's taught instead to bark every day, after a while, guess what? It's going to begin to think, and it's going to begin to act like a dog, not like a pig. Now, that may be an extreme example. But after all, isn't that how education works? We teach what we want others to learn and duplicate it in their own lives. That's what these millennials and Generation Xers are doing, living what they've been taught by people they've trusted. They're elementary, middle school, high school teachers, and their college professors. The big kahuna. Now, in this impeachment case, what's that? The big kahuna. Sadly, there's a much bigger cost playing out in today's political system, illustrated most vividly in this impeachment process that we're just now kicking into full speed ahead. We've said this often here at Truth News Network. The difference between Democrats, or those on the left, and Republicans, or those on the right, is that when political opponents of Republicans disagree with Republicans, Republicans don't like what these opponents feel and express. When political opponents of Democrats or leftists disagree with Democrats or leftists, Democrats don't like what they say and what they feel, but today's Democrats take it one step further. They hate those Republicans. They hate those on the right. They hate everyone that holds a different perspective than do those leftists. This hatred, vitriol, and vicious rejection of everyone with a different political perspective than do these leftists has split America right down the middle. Polls don't necessarily show how deep and concentrated that split is. Why is that? Well, it's simply because most conservatives, by the nature of conservatism, don't become confrontational in political disputes, while leftists often go right to the confrontation from the beginning. So conservatives, they just walk away. I can't tell you how many conservatives I hear that are telephoned, either on cell phones, office phones, or home phones, to talk about their political perspectives. And when asked if they're Republican or asked if they're Republican or Democrat, they don't want to reply that they're Republicans because they just automatically assume they're being called by someone who is of the liberal ilk. So they don't say anything or politely hang up. Now, I'm not stupid, not foolish. I know there are hateful conservatives among Republicans and a bunch of hateful people further right than Republicans. I also know that in the context of the whole of American conservatives, that number is minimal and is not the skeleton of the conservative movement. It's a part of it, no doubt. But thankfully, it's a small part. I sadly know that those leftists that have found themselves in demonstrations turned riots shown on television where they beat and severely hurt conservatives, they have no hunger on the most part for truth or justice. All they know is the hunger their hatred pushes them to appease, and that hatred is quickly turning to evil. And evil is stealthily stealing the soul of American. Let me say that again. Evil is stealthily stealing the soul of American. America is nothing like it was as recently as 20 years ago politically. It's split, it's divided, and I remember when Barack Obama was running for office in his first presidential term for the 2008 election. I remember when he said he was going to bring America back together. This division that we're talking about, this vitriol, this split, this anger and hatred, it began when he took office, when he moved into the White House. So did the beginning of this evil. Now, I'm not saying he was evil. I'm saying the philosophy used of, if you don't agree with me, not only do I not like what you say or think or feel, I don't like you, and I just automatically turn you off. In summary, folks, House Speaker Pelosi, with total arrogance, consistently denigrates President Trump, publicly makes baseless allegations against him. She knows when they're made against him that are false. She shows no remorse for doing so. She's never apologized for anything she said. She consistently attacks him personally, and she has never given him credit for a single accomplishment of all those that have created better lives, significantly better lives for tens of millions of Americans on President Trump's watch. A House Speaker that is untruthful, disrespectful of the presidency, the U.S. government, America's election system, and all conservative Americans has never existed before in my lifetime. There have been a bunch of speakers of the House on the left that they may not have been wonderful, but they were at least reasonable to deal with. And they always have different opinions. It's one thing to have a diverse or a different opinion, but it's another thing to lash out. I could detail example after example of the anger and hatred by leftists in this U.S. government and in this media. Let's not go there today. I'm certain we can agree about that. One thing is certain. Our nation has taken on brand new characteristics that have never before been seen in the majority in the United States. I pray they never become representative of the majority in this nation. What is about to occur is that the nation will, in the next few weeks, witness firsthand how far left these people are, and that the only sustenance for their rabid hunger for power, listen to this, is total domination. They used to just be after power, going to reach up and grab some here and grab some there. No more, folks. They want to control every part of our lives. They push the throttle to the floor to get to that domination. Truth is going to expose them. It's begun now. It's going to expose their intentions. It's already started. And the process they've chosen for power and domination of every aspect of American life, that process is being exposed a little bit each and every day. I doubt Americans will allow fulfillment of their dream. And I got to be honest with you, I pray that Americans will wake up and not allow it to happen. We can do that, but we've got to vote and speak our conscience, especially to our children and our grandchildren. Thank you for being here today. Stay firm, stay strong. And I encourage you, as distasteful as it's going to be, I encourage you to engage in this impeachment process. You may not be able to watch the trial all day, every day. It's going to go all day till 6 o'clock every evening, 6 days a week in the Senate until it's resolved. That's how crazy it is. And I know you can't be involved in each and every bit of it, but at least come here every day. We're going to have a synopsis. We'll start doing when they really kick in the trial. Every evening, we'll do a bullet point synopsis at the end of the day for you with a list of the highlights of what happened in the Senate regarding impeachment that day. So, have a great day today. Don't worry too much about this. My mom used to always say, don't worry about anything you can't change. And I can't change what's happening in the Senate, nor can you. But what we can do is pray for our leaders, pray for our president, pray for even the Democrats that are up there, that God will give them wisdom and that they'll receive the wisdom God puts in their minds and their hearts. And the same for everybody in Congress. They all need that, don't they? Get some peace, get some rest, and be back here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
How do you deal with the left when they're in your face with facts? TNN, the Truth News Network.